Let's look together in the Word for a few minutes. I am absolutely blown away when you think about Jesus Christ. And when you think that Isaiah, all those years earlier in chapter 9, said Jesus would be called Wonderful. Really? He'd be called Counselor, and He is a Counselor. He'd be called the Mighty God, called the Everlasting Father, called the Prince of Peace. Aren't those great names? He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the vine. He's the bread. And then in the book of the Revelation in chapter 5, it said He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Isn't that a great name? Isn't that an awesome name? Jesus, the Lion. I have to be honest with you. I don't understand that. Do you know anything at all about Judah? He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's stick that one over there. We'll think about it. Put it on the back burner a minute. I think part of what God desires for you, for me, is that we be broken, that we be vulnerable, that we be honest. And if you want to grow in your Christian life, if you want to move forward in your Christian life, you have to be broken, you have to be vulnerable, and you have to be honest. And you need to keep that constantly, daily before you. One of the great stories of the Bible is about a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. But when number 11 was born, he treated him differently. If you grew up as I did on the King James, then you know he had a coat of many colors. The truth is, he had a coat that covered the extremities. So you couldn't see his hands, you couldn't see his feet, which meant he didn't have to work. And his brothers, the 10 older brothers, said like, "Wow, man, that's great. Dad loves you. Wow, you don't have to do anything. You've got a silver spoon. This is wonderful. Wow, we love it. Oh, we're so happy for you." That's the story. Isn't that right? Maybe not. And then Joseph, this boy with the coat of that covered the extremities, many colors, he says, "Hey, guys, hey, I had a dream. And you bowed down and worshiped me." And you know how that would go over with your brothers? Lead balloon. They didn't think that was so funny. "Hey, guys, I dreamed that the stars and you." And they didn't like that one either. They just said, "That's really bad." Jacob has sent the 10 oldest boys off to watch the sheep. And he says, "Hey, Joe, come here a minute, Joseph, come here. Would you take some food and go find out how your brothers are and bring back a report to me?" "Ah, man, what are you doing, Dad?" And so he comes. And you know, the guys, they see him off in the distance. They say like, "Wow, here he comes, lazy bones, favor to Dad. This wretched guy has got this arrogant flavor about him. How horrible he is." And they got an idea. "Let's kill him." I didn't like my older brother, but I never thought of that. I mean, really, that's a little tough. Oh, but the story continues. Remember, they threw him in a cistern. They decide what they're going to do. Judah. Oh, I heard that name. Remember? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, great. Judah said to his brothers, "What do we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood?" "Whew, I understand. That's great. Whoa. Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him. After all, he's our brother. He's our own flesh and blood." His brother, can you imagine? I mean, I don't know how you feel in your sibling rivalries with your, you know, growing up, but did you want to sell? "Hey, I'm going to sell you to the neighbors. Man, just think of the profit we get. I'm going to sell you." And so they sell him to the Ishmaelites, and the last vision is watching Joseph tied behind some camel going over a sand dune going like, hey, guys, this isn't funny. Judah. They come home and they tell Dad, "We found this coat." And he looks and he says, "It's Joseph's." Remember, Dad is absolutely distraught. And they try to cry with Dad. I mean, that's real acting. And he said, "No, I'll grieve myself." In the midst of his pain, in the midst of his hurt, the Bible says, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man in Adullam named Hiram. Are you kidding? Do you understand what that says? Do you understand? This is Judah. The lion of the tribe is going to come from Judah. And he says, I don't want the blessing of God. I'm not going to stay with my father. I will not be here. I'm going to pagan land. I'm going to run away. I'm going to hide. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm sure at this point, probably he's pretty angry with dad. There, Judah meets the daughter of a Canaanite man. He marries her, lays with her. She becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son. Wait a minute. You married a godless pagan, an idolatrous woman who cares less about Jehovah God, and you're pleased with this? She conceived and gave birth to a son. His name was Ur. She conceived again and gave birth to a son. His name was Onan. She gave birth to still another son. His name is Shelah. Judah got for his wife, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Wow. I don't know about you, but that just sends like a chill through. Can you imagine? This guy was so bad, God said, that's it, boom, you're dead. Can you believe that? This is like, whoa. But we're talking about Judah, and Jesus is the lion of the tribe. Okay, let's keep going, because you don't understand all this. Then Judah said to Onan, lie with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law by producing offspring for your brother. That was the culture. That's what you did. The older son died, and so the younger son would bear children by that wife. So Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. And what he did was wicked in the Lord's sight. Wow. So he put him to death also. First boy, he's so bad that God kills him. Second boy, so bad that God kills him. From my perspective, it says something about dad. It says something about Judah. How could your children be that bad that God killed them? I don't understand. But we're talking about Judah, this great son. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. For he thought, he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went to live with his father's house. A couple observations on that verse. Number one, your first son is so bad God kills him. Second son is so bad God kills him. And now he thinks the third son's going to die? Wow. I'd say this boy's not very good. But secondly, he says to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, listen, go live with your father. You go back to where you came from. I said, that's nice. No, that's bad. That's wrong. Because in that culture, at that time, she became your daughter-in-law. She came under your umbrella. She is your possession. You are responsible for her. He shirks his responsibility. But we're talking about Judah, and Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I have to admit, at this point, I go, I don't understand that. Lily of the Valley, great, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting. I understand. But how could Jesus be the lion of the tribe of Judah? It doesn't make sense. He sells his brother. No, don't answer that. He runs away from his father. He runs to a pagan land. He marries a pagan woman. His children are so bad that God kills him. He shirks his responsibility. He doesn't want anything to do with his responsibilities. After a long time, Judah's wife died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hiram the Adullamite went with him. Oh, that's nice. No, that's not nice. Because it was a wild party. It was an absolute drunken orgy after the sheep shearing. And he said, I'm just going to go and live. I'm just going to go be wild. I'm going to go do what I want to do. I'm going to do anything I want to do. Don't tell me what to do. Just leave me alone. A true Long Islander. Don't tell me what to do. Just leave me alone. I'll do what I want to do. When Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on the way to Timnah to shear his sheep, she took off her widow's clothes. So you've seen the Greek culture maybe around here. You've seen a Greek widow, all black. So she's taken off all this black. She covers herself with a veil. You've seen that in our changing Long Island culture. She covers herself with a veil to disguise herself. And then she sat down at the entrance on the road that leads to Timnah. For she saw that, though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. You didn't fulfill your promises. You made a promise. This is Judah. He made a promise. And he didn't do a thing. Lion of the tribe. I don't understand. When Judah saw her, he thought she was, a prostitute. Why would you think this woman sitting there is a prostitute? Where is your mind and what are you thinking? It's obvious he didn't go to Thursday nights at Dick's Hills where anyone asked, how are your eyes? For she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went out to her by the roadside and said, come now, lie with me, sleep with me. And she said, what will you give me to sleep with you? I'll send you a young goat from my flock, Judah said. Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it? What pledge should I give? He says, my seal, my cord, and my staff. So he gave them to her. He slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. She took off her veil, put on her widow's clothes again. Can I ask you a question? Do you struggle with Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega? Yes or no? I'm going to ask you a question. Do you struggle with Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega? Okay, I'd like to ask you a question. Okay, maybe I'd like you to answer the question. Okay? So this is going to be a tough one. It's either yes or no. Do you struggle in your mind that Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega?
No.
Okay, some of you got it. Some of you aren't still struggling there. Do you struggle that Jesus is called the Prince of Peace?
No.
I struggle, though, that Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe. If it was Joseph, I'd understand. I mean, if it was Benjamin, I'd understand. But this guy's a wretch. This guy would never be an elder. He'd never be a trustee. He'd never even come to Bible study. This guy is absolutely horrible. I cannot believe it. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his friend, the Adullamite, in order to get his pledge back from the woman. But he did not find her. He asked the men who lived there, where's the shrine prostitute who was beside the road? There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here, they said. He goes back to Judah and he said, I didn't find her. Besides the men who live there, they said, there's no shrine prostitute here. Judah says, let her keep what she has or we'll become a laughing stock. After all, I did send this young goat, but she didn't find it. After 3 months, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution. And as a result, she's now pregnant. This is embarrassing for him. because she's supposed to be under his roof, though he had shirked his responsibility. And Judah said, bring her out! And as a result, have her burned to death. How righteous I am. Look at me. How dare she do this? She's disgraced my name. So you burn her. Whoa, 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 whoa. The law never talked about burning anyone. If someone was guilty, you would stone them. You would never burn anyone. Where do you get this? You've become a pagan in your mind. Are you out of your mind? What do you think you're doing? How could you say that? Just to appear before everyone else, say, hey, I know the answers. Burn her. As she was being brought out, use a little imagination. Can you imagine 10, 20, 30 men who know that she's pregnant as a prostitute? Oh, come on, dear. Could you just come? Come on. Would you mind coming? We'd like to take you to see. Come on. We'd like to take you to see Judah. Do you think they did that? They're dragging her. They're spitting on her. They're hitting her. Who do you think you are? You vile prostitute. Look at you, how you've disgraced the name of your family. Look at you, how awful you are. Wait a minute, her husband was killed by God. They brought her out. And she sent a message to her father-in-law. I'm pregnant by the man who owns these, she said. And she answered, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are. Whoa. Can you imagine? Here's Judah sitting with all of his righteousness. Burn her. Bring her before me. She will not humiliate me. And she says, would you mind taking this? Here's a staff. And here's a cord. And here's a seal. Would you take them and just ask him if he knows who they are? Brokenness. We don't like brokenness. I don't like brokenness. I was raised in Eastern North Carolina. The good life. I guess everybody goes there now when you get a certain age. I didn't say anything, Tom. Brokenness comes really through my sin. That's really where brokenness comes from. But, you know, I've lived in Metro New York, 8 years in Brooklyn, the 13 years in Jersey, 14 years here. And I know how we think because we're Long Islanders. When the pressure gets hot, we like to run. We have a track star. Actually, he's All-American. It's from Suffolk College in the church. And Ilya is he's a track star. And I said, Ilya, I'm going to run with you. He said, you can't keep up with me if you're on your bicycle. I said, oh, gee, thanks. But, you know, when things get too hot, we run. We run from them. We run to the television. We run to the mall. We run to our minds and our imaginations. We do something to numb the pain, to hide it, to disguise it, to avoid it, to mask it, and we look good. We don't want to deal face to face with the reality that's before us. We don't want any part of it. And so as true New Yorkers, as true Long Islanders, we run. But Judah did that. He ran from his father. He ran from his daughter-in-law. He ran from his responsibilities. Judah, the lion of the... But you know, as true New Yorkers, we fight. You don't believe what I say? I can say what I want to say, and you can't make me not say it. Don't tell me what to do. That's a good New Yorker. I've got my own opinion. You can say what you want to say, but don't tell me what to do. Ride the LIE, Northern State, Southern State, Sunrise, 110, Sacticale, it doesn't matter. You pick the road. You got my... We sit in our air-conditioned cars now, and we fight, we yell, we scream to somebody that's got our parking spot at Costco as if my name is on it. You know, really, I mean, did you know... I went and counted them yesterday. Do you know how many parking spots there are at Costco? But we're going to fight over these six that are here. Hey, you got my spot. Give me that. I was there before you were. Give me that. We love to do that. That's who we are. And when sin comes, we fight. It's not my fault. Do you know what my father did to me? Do you know what my mother did to me? Do you know what my boss did to me? Do you know what my coach did to me? Do you know what my teacher did to me? Do you know what my neighbors? Do you know my... We fight. We're like Judah. The lion of the tribe. Or we hide. We like to hide. We like to play a little game. Nobody can see us. And we think we can't hide from God. I shared a room with my brother growing up. And I thought because it was dark, I could hide from him. I could hide from God. I couldn't hide from either one. We play cover-up games. We hide. How are you today? I'm great. How are you? Fine. Whew, man, I thought they weren't even going to talk to me today. I'm glad they're gone. I mean, we hide. We cover up. We play positive when we hurt. We don't want somebody to see down inside. Judah. Huh, now, there's a model, isn't he? I mean, that's a biblical model. Hey, I'd like my children to be like, you never said Judah. You never thought Judah. Jacob's about to die. And Jacob calls his sons to his side. He says, hey, boys, I want to talk to you. He calls all 12 boys together. And then there's Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Issachar, you're like a wild donkey. Dan, you're going to provide justice to people. Gad, you're like a band of raiders. Naphtali, you're like a doe who just runs all over the place. Joseph, you're a fruitful vine. Reuben, you'll be a sign of strength. Turbulent waters, but you'll be a sign of strength. Simeon and Levi, you'll be weapons of violence. Judah, what could you say to the boy? What could you say to your son who left you in your misery, who went and married a pagan, who was vile and then said, burn your daughter-in-law? What could he say? Judah, your brothers, are you serious? Your brothers will praise you? Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You're a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son, like a lion. He crouches at the door. You lie down like a lioness. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the future ruler of the world, the God of very gods, will come from you, Judah. You who left me. You who lied and sold your brother into slavery. You who went to a pagan land. You who took on a pagan mindset. You who married a pagan. You whose sons were so bad that I killed them. Something isn't right. Do you think? No, God didn't make a mistake. 3 months later, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution. As a result, she's now pregnant. Judah said, bring her out and have her burned to death. I need to read that with a lot more enthusiasm, but anyway. As she was being brought out, he sent a message to her father-in-law. I'm now pregnant by the man who owns these. And she added, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff they are. And Judah recognized them. And he said, hey, guys, anybody seen these? Hey, guys, anybody know these? Hey, is this yours? Hey, is this yours? Who did this? Anybody know these? No, nobody knows these. We don't have any idea who these are. Burn her. Judah recognized them, and he said, she is more righteous than I am. Whew. She is more righteous than I am. Do you know what he just said? He said, I am wrong. I have sinned. I am guilty. He was broken. He was vulnerable, but he was honest. And he told everyone who came to this lynching party. The entire town came. Everybody's there. And he said, I sinned. I'm wrong. I'm guilty. She is more righteous than I am. I should be the one burned. That's what he's saying when he says she's more righteous than I am. Oh, you say it's a passing fad. Really? I love the rest of the story. Listen, the story of Joseph, and this is in the middle of the story of Joseph, the beginning of the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph's not for your grandchildren. It's for you. It's for you. It's a great story. But you remember, Joseph is number two in all the land of Egypt. So he's got all his hair is gone. He's dressed in the garb of the Egyptians. He's a god before the Egyptians. There's a famine in the land. And Jacob says, hey, boys, go get some food. So remember, they took a few figs and a few pistachios and a little bit of honey. And they go see the man who's absent number two. I mean, really, I mean, that would go over like wow. I mean, that's great. So they come, they bring their figs, their honey, their pistachios, and to get some grain. Remember, they go back and their money is in the sack. And they were absolutely blown away. And they run out of food. And they come to Dad and they said, hey, Jacob, hey, Pop, we got to go get some more food. He said, okay, go. He said, no, we got to take Benjamin. And Jacob said, why didn't you lie to the man? Why didn't you lie to him? Why didn't you tell him we had another son? You didn't have to do that. My oldest son, Joseph, is dead. He's gone. Why did you lie? And Judah says, I'll take care of him. Well, that's comforting. You sold your brother. Now you're going to take care of Benjamin? Great. And they come back before Joseph. And if you remember the story there before Joseph, and they go to a meal and they sit in chronological order, the chances are like 1 in 10 million that that takes place. Somebody worked it out for me once. I don't know. But it's unbelievable. It's astronomical that it takes place. They take grain. They begin to head back home. And next day, the servant catches them. Joseph's servant comes. He says, hey, guys, where are you running off to? We're going home. Oh, somebody stole my master's silver cup. We don't have the silver cup. He said, listen, I'm not going to take you all in. But whoever's got the silver cup, he's going to come back and be my master's servant. Okay? You got it? You understand? No problems? Everybody together? He said, sure. First bag, second bag, third bag, fourth bag. And they come to Benjamin and they open Benjamin's bag. And you know what's in the bag? A silver cup. And you know what Judah said? I knew he had it. I knew he had it all along. Serves him right. It serves him right. Good, get him. Please let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy. And let the boy return to his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy's not with me? Do you know what he said? I'll go. I'll go. And you leave Benjamin here. Judah, who sold his brother. Judah, who lied, cheated, was deceptive. Judah said, take me. Don't take my brother. I'll become, can I use the word a substitute? I'll become a substitute. Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of, he's a substitute. Because Judah was honest. He was honest with God. Sin that's kept inside. And we all sin. We all do. We every one of us do. We sin. We're born to sin as the sparks, or as prone to sin as the sparks are to fly upward. We're sinners. We're rebellious. We're selfish. We're ugly people. But if you keep it inside, it will destroy you. It will eat you alive. You will die spiritually. It will destroy you. David said in Psalm 32, when I kept my sin hidden, my bones were out of joint. It didn't help me. My life was exhausting. It was draining. It hindered my life. The great news, the awesome news, the powerful news, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah offers grace to us. He offers forgiveness. He offers peace. He offers help. He offers encouragement. It is He, the God who created everything. It is He, the God who created everything, who rejoices over us when we come honest with God. Do you want to be God's man? Do you want to be God's woman? Do you want to be used by God? Do you have to be broken? Here's my sin. You have to admit it. You have to be vulnerable, but you have to be honest. I'm guilty. I'm sure you often sing John Newton's great song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like somebody else, but not wonderful, awesome, tremendous me. Isn't that right? That's how we act sometimes. But John Newton, a slave trader who became a slave, cried out to God, and he said, I'm a wretch. I'm a wretch. God, put your hand on me. I'll be honest. I'll be vulnerable because you've broken me. Stop running from God. Stop being so engulfed in yourself and your Facebook and your Twitters and your ball teams and your shopping and your daydreams. Because that's as far as you're going. Your ball teams, your shopping, your daydreams, your Twitter, and nobody cares. But the very God of very gods is searching, hunting, crying, seeking for you to be broken, to be vulnerable, to be honest, so that He can work in you. I pray God's blessing upon Dix Hills. I pray God's blessing upon you as an individual. And I pray that you will learn from the life of Judah, from whom the Lion of the tribe of Judah came. How awesome. He didn't run. He didn't hide. He was honest. Father God, last week, last month, yesterday, today, I've sinned. I've been vile before you. But I like to look nice, and I like nice compliments. I like to think I'm pretty good. Forgive me for my arrogance. I pray, Father, that you would touch us. I pray that we'd be honest with you, that you would use us to change Long Island. I thank you for the life of a miserable man who became a powerful, tremendous man. I thank you, Father, for Judah. I pray that we would become more like Judah in our honesty, in our vulnerability, in our brokenness. To the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.